Holy Ghost, just come upon us tonight and just breathe and blow upon us. Lord, I pray this night, it's not like any other night, but that, Lord, you just move in our lives tonight in such a way that it changes us. It changes us, Lord. Everybody say, I want to be changed. Say, I want to be more like you, Jesus. Now just reach over to that person beside you and just ask God to bless them. Lord, right now we open up our hearts to you. And we just thank you that, Lord, that you speak and you direct and you touch each and every one tonight. Lord, that you minister your word to them. And that person on our left and our right is blessed and feels your power and your presence this night. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus forevermore. I am going to do something a little different tonight. Mainly because the Lord just told me what to do. So get your Bibles out. Go to Daniel chapter 9. I want to share something with you tonight that is good. I don't know how else to say it. It's good. I pray it helps each and every one of you tonight. You know, I don't know what you think. You know, thank God I've only had to deal with my head, not all of y'all's heads involved in my head. But I think that one of the biggest struggles in my own walk with the Lord over these 30 plus years is about prayer and about understanding prayer and about the power of prayer. And sometimes I would see prayers answered quickly, and other times I would pray till I was blue in the face and never saw anything move, and just not seeing things happening, and then other things just happened just real easy, and you know, just always wondering and trying to figure it all out. And so the Lord began to speak to me, and I didn't realize I was going to launch out in this tonight, and trying to help me, because I was just sitting at the table fellowshipping with him, and just, this is the kind of stuff I like to talk about, you know. You got to understand something. I'm trying to teach y'all to fellowship with God. But the biggest mistake you can make is sitting with God, and you initiate all the conversation, and you just try to give him your grocery list, and you're just trying to pray, and you're just trying to talk to him and leave. You have to find those times where you can sit down. And it does not have to be a time when, you know, you've got candles lit. When you've lighted candles, is that the word? When you have lit candles. Is it? No? Lit. When you have lit candles. I think litton should be a word. Anyway, You know, it doesn't have to be this religious atmosphere you've got. It has to be your time that you're sitting there, that you know you're talking with Jesus and you're fellowshipping with him, you know? And it's those times, that's the times, the rich times in life that you share and you talk to God about things. You tell him, Lord, I don't really understand how this works. You know, I'll tell on myself. Years ago, I was, getting, because he's got to understand, this church is started on prayer. And we went to the community building because we had no church to meet in, and the first thing we listened to is How to Pray, Would You Not Tarry With Me 1 Hour by Larry Lee. And we went over those tapes and watched those things, and I was all pumped up. Man, I was going to pray an hour, and I remember getting all ready one morning. I had it all down, had my notes down. I was going to pray, you know, and I prayed, I was blue in the face, prayed for everything I could possibly think of, and like 10 minutes went by, you know. And I was like, dear Lord, how could anybody pray for an hour, you know? This is where I started out in life. And now it's, you know, my life is, I don't ever, you know, I'm always talking to the Lord, you know. There's not, you got to understand, prayer doesn't have to be this You know, I was down today working on Lex's house, and we were trying to find a pipe hidden behind a rock wall. And, you know, it could be anywhere in this big, and I didn't want to tear out that much rock. And I'm praying. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm standing there the whole time. I got a hammer in my hand and a chisel hitting on the side of his house, and I'm saying, Lord, it's got, you know, come on. Yeah, he's praying too. Especially when he got out the bigger hammer. But what I'm saying is that's still fellowship. You see what I mean? It doesn't have to be that you have to come to this time and, you know, and get down. It's still, that's what I'm talking about this whole time. That's still fellowship. That also can be called prayer. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not trying to be so technical, but I'm trying to get this image into your mind of a whole bunch of powerful family members sitting around a table discussing the matters and the affairs of their life, laughing about some things, talking about some things, crying about some things, whatever, all at a table while they're doing business, family business, and things are moving and happening, and it's still a joyous time, and they're all sitting there. That's how it should be with you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost at the table. Okay. In Daniel chapter 9 is a you need to read the whole thing because I don't want to get into it for time's sake. But Daniel is praying for the people of Jerusalem, for all the of Israel that has been taken captive. And you can go through. All right. We're going to look at it. Start with verse 3. It says, then I set my face towards the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant mercy with those who love him and those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. So Daniel goes through this thing and he starts to talk about the wickedness that the people have done, how they've departed from God's precepts. They've departed from God's judgments. They haven't, you know, heeded the prophets. They haven't. He's repenting for the sins of what the people have done. Okay? Now, let me ask you this. Did Daniel do that? Well, when Daniel was taken captive, he was just a young boy. So he's really repenting for the sins of his parents, we'll say, or his fathers. Right? I'm not saying he wasn't a sinner, but I'm just saying he was taking time to make supplication. He was looking at his whole country saying, God, we have not obeyed your laws. We have not done it. He includes himself in it, even though he really didn't do it. Right? I'm just crazy enough to believe that for every problem that we have here in life, there is an answer. Okay? Like, today I've gotten two prayer requests come in for major cancer issues in people's lives, and you read it, and I look at it, and I'm sitting there, you know, here's so-and-so just been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and I'm looking at it and I'm saying, there's healing in the kingdom for that. But I don't know the person's relationship. This is somebody that doesn't go to church here. I don't know the person's relationship. I don't know where they're standing. I don't know if they believe. I don't know what they're looking at. I don't know where the faith is. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what teaching they have. I don't know anything. And so, you know what I'm saying? So it makes it hard for me to have a lot of faith for God to move because I'm looking at the situation not knowing where they're standing because I don't know the person. I'm just asked to pray. Y'all with me? But I know there's an answer. I know there's an answer. For every sickness, every financial problem, every marriage problem, every whatever, business decision, whatever, I believe with all of my heart that at the table we fellowship with God, there is an answer. Are y'all with me? So I believe prayer works, but I believe it has to be discussed that over the fellowship, over the dinner. So Daniel's confessing and he's praying for the people. And he goes on down. If you notice, he first started out there. He was, you know, basically worshiping God. Then he starts to confess for the sins of his people. Verse 8, he says, he's still on it. Says, Lord, we ought to just have, to us belong shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers. You know, verse 9, it says, Lord, you belong mercy and forgiveness, and we're the ones that rebelled against you. You've not done anything. It's us. And he goes through here praying through this, and he goes on down, and he says, I know there's going to be a result of this, through those verses 11 on down. He said, there's going to be a result of this. There's going to be disaster. There's going to be problems because we've turned from you. We've left you. And he says, we deserve all this disaster, 13. Goes on 13, 14. And so then he gets down into 16 and he says, oh Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray let your anger and your fury be turned away from the citizens of Jerusalem. So he says, Lord, we deserve this. This is what righteously should happen because we've turned from you. I understand that, but I'm interceding and asking for you to change. Okay, so he worshiped God at first. He confessed the sins. He then said, we deserve what we're getting. And but then he stopped and he still asked, even though he had laid down the case of why they deserved it all, he interceded to God for his mercy. Right? Verse 20 is where I want you to see. It says, now while I was speaking, of praying, confessing my sins and the sins of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord God from the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, he's talking about Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. So if you go back to the very first, it says that he started praying, he set his face, you know, that morning. So he's prayed till the evening sacrifice comes. So he's been about this all day long. All right? Everybody say all day. Now, let me read again. No. Verse 21. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in a vision at the beginning, caused a fly, reached me about the time of the evening offering, and informed me and talked with me and said, Daniel, I've come now to give you skill to understand. Verse 23. At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out. Now, when did the command go out? Gabriel didn't get there till the evening to talk to him about it. But he said as soon as he prayed that morning, the command went out. Right? And I have come to tell you that you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. So then he went and he talked to him about the vision. The point I want to make here is that when Daniel started praying, the command from the altar of heaven was sent out and it was put in motion, right? So he prayed and something moved in heaven. He prayed and something moved in heaven. But I feel like most Christians don't think that if they pray, they don't believe that if they pray, that things move. Now, it moved in heaven. It took the angel to the evening to tell Gabriel about it, and it took years later for it all to come to pass. But it, the moment he prayed, it moved. Okay? What I want to encourage you about tonight is when you have to get to the place of confidence. And you have this confidence because you have been fellowshipping at the table of your family. You've been talking at the table with Jesus and the Holy Ghost and the Father, and you understand what fellowship is about. You have a relationship. I'm not going to go ask somebody for something that I don't think they're going to give it to me because they don't like me. Are y'all with me? If I don't think Tim likes me, I'm not going to go ask him to borrow his truck. Are you with me? Because I feel like he's going to say no because he doesn't really like me because he told Lex he doesn't like me. Are y'all with me here? And then Lex came and told me, Tim doesn't really like you. And I said, man, I hate that Tim doesn't like me. I'm not going to go to him and ask a favor. I'm going to go to Frankie over here because Frankie said he likes me and he might give me his truck. You with me? If you have that attitude with God your Father that you're not sure if you ask Him for anything, He's going to give it to you, well, then you're already starting on a weak foundation. It's that confidence on the inside of us that when we go to God, you know, 1 John 5:14, that He hears our prayers and that He moves. My gosh, can you imagine? Think about this, Ashley. Here you are tonight, sitting here in church, and in a minute we're going to pray, and when you open up your lips and pray, heaven's going to move because you prayed. Woo! You say, I can't get nothing done on earth. Well, then move something in heaven. But we don't take that attitude. We don't think about it like that. We let the devil talk us out of it. Let our stupid heads talk us out of it. Let everything else in the world talk us out of it. Or we get religious and we think, well, if I'm going to pray, I really didn't pray. If I just throw up a prayer right now, it's not really too good. I really should have to, you know, get in that, you know, I got to get into the right. It didn't really, God didn't hear us. Instead of just walking down the road, listen to me. If I'm sitting in the truck fellowshipping with David all day long and he's riding around with me and he's just sitting over there, we're fellowshipping together. Well, then if I just change subjects and ask him for something else, he hears me because he's been in the truck with me all day long. My wife and I do this. We get into this, you know, we've lived together for so long that it's gotten into this crazy conversations that happen now. Like she says things to me and then I'm kind of caught off guard. And I said, what? What are you talking about? Oh, well, I changed conversations in my, you know, in my head. And I was like, well, I didn't catch up with that. I didn't know that we had changed. And she said, yeah, we're talking about this. I said, oh, okay, now I'm with you. Here we go. Okay? And then there's other times she says, you know that thing, the other day, that thing. And I say, and then I tell her, and it's right. And, you know, but we can have this communications about, and we don't really, if anybody was listening to anything, we don't have any, make any good sense. You're with me? Okay. Why? Because I have fellowship with her all the time. That's the way a relationship should be with Jesus. There's not, you came to church in fellowship with Jesus tonight and you walk out the door and he stayed home. Or he stayed in here and you went home. It's not that you had to get up in the morning and whistle like a dog trying to find your dog, you know, to see where Jesus is. Right? We got to get this confidence on the inside of us that when we pray, God hears our prayers. And he doesn't care how pretty you talk. He doesn't care what words you use. He just wants fellowship. Now, listen, let me just put it this way. Whatever your speech is with your normal people you fellowship with, you might as well stick to that with Jesus because you're not going to get, in no sense, trying to pull the wool over his eyes. Now, don't go to King James when, you know, you don't talk like that to your own friends. All right?
But do y'all hear what I'm saying to you tonight? What I'm encouraging about, it's not a flippant thing that you threw up your prayer. It's just you. Well, you're I'm not Daniel, so God's not going to answer my prayer. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't have anything to do with it. You're washed in the blood of Jesus. You are righteous by the blood of Jesus. You are holy and blameable and unreprovable in the sight of God. You've been sitting at the table. But if you don't know this, you got no confidence in it. And I'm sick of the world, the Christian world, not knowing what's theirs and just going around stupidly shooting themselves in the foot every time they turn around. You know how many... So, I want you to write these down. If you've got a piece of paper there, write these down. 5 reasons prayers aren't answered. I'm just going off of Daniel 9 there. 5 reasons why prayers aren't answered. Number one is... people aren't willing to humble themselves. They're not going to confess their sins and humble themselves. We humans want to justify our actions rather than just admitting we're flesh. We're flesh. One time I had a person come to me and say, "Pastor, you know, I've been praying about you and for you, and I really feel like you're demon-possessed." And I said, "Okay, lay hands on me, cast it out, because the last thing I want in life is to be demon-possessed." And they looked at me so funny, because they were expecting me to fight and argue with them. And I said, "Here I am, buddy, lay the hands on me. Cast it out right now, come on. I don't want nothing." And then they just saw the errors of their ways and walked away. You don't know what other people are thinking, but listen to me. There's no sense in you trying to just not humble yourself. You can only be accountable for you. All right? Number 2 is we break fellowship with God and our Christian brothers. All right? First thing is we just won't confess our sins. We won't humble ourselves. And the second thing is you break fellowship. Listen, if you're not, even if you, a company you work for, if you don't go to the morning meetings and you don't do that for 3 weeks, then after a while, you're not going to know what the heck's going on. Hello? So you break fellowship with God. You're not sitting at the table. And then you break fellowship with your Christian brothers because God's going to use them to help speak to you. And so when you're not having any fellowship with anybody, you've just gone to isolate yourself. Man, you're going to get off. Your prayers aren't going to get answered. Number 3, it's a real simple one, no faith. No faith, because just like I said a while ago, you don't believe God's going to do anything for you. No faith. Number 4, no consistency in life. You can't read your Bible for 4 hours one day and then don't read it again for 4 days. It would be better to read 10 minutes every day and be consistent. Consistency always pays off. Always pays off. And number 5. Number 5 and number 1 are real close. But number 5 is they hide in secret. In secret lives, I can't read my own writing here. I typed this up and I didn't spell things right. They hide in secrecy, comma. They live a lie because pride rules them. So you say, ask somebody, "Hey, how's everything going?" "Oh, it's fine," when it's not fine. But we live in secrecy because we think if anybody else sees us or knows something about us or whatever, I've always laughed at the scripture that says, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another. Well, ain't nobody going to do that. Because you're not going to want to expose yourself. Yeah, the other night, you know,
I threw a fit and broke the mirror in the house and kicked the dog. And can y'all pray for me? Everybody's going to say, you did what? Right? That's what we think. But the truth is, they could probably relate to you. Because we all go through the same temptations and we all have the same weaknesses and we all go through the same problems. You're with me? Okay, so number one is they will not humble themselves, confess their sins and humble themselves. Number two is they break fellowship with God and their Christian brothers. Number three is have no faith. Number four, there's no consistency in life. Number five, they hide in secret. They hide in secrecy. They live a lie because pride rules them. Pride's a horrible thing, right? Okay, so now that I gave you the depressing news, go to Romans 15:30. I want to show you something. Romans 15:30. The good side of this is if you do the opposite of those five things, you can be assured your prayers are going to get answered. Right? Just do the opposite. And you got her made. Right? Just simply be willing to repent. Stay in fellowship with God. Build your faith. Live a consistent life. And just tell God everything. You got her made then. I mean, so there's five simple rules. Right? It's not complicated. It's not hard. Jesus didn't ask us to jump through. I'm grieved and frustrated at the same time at people I see who just will not yield from pride and let God come into their lives and help them. And they'll skirt around it, 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 and get over here and get over there and say, well, I guess maybe I need to do this or maybe I need to do that. And they'll just run around and run around and run around. When the whole answer is there, the whole time is right in front of their face. Just fall on your face and tell God, you're an idiot. He already knows it. Repent for it. Ask Him to forgive you and wash you in the blood of Jesus. Start reading your Bible. Start going to church. Start having fellowship with God. Man, you're going to get it going. Now, before I get into this, let me just say this. I say it, I have to back up a little bit. I say it's easy. Because it's easy for me. It's easy for me because I have been doing it since the day I got saved. But I realize for a person that has never walked with Jesus, never read his Bible, never been consistent, never prayed, never done anything like that, it's like exercise. Like I started a new exercise workout. I did it one day, and the next day every being within me screamed for a reason and an excuse not to do it. And I thought to myself, you're such a liar. Because the moment I say, okay, I'm not going to do it, then you're going to come in and convict me and condemn me because I didn't go do it. Oh, who are you? You couldn't do it last one day. I said, I understand you. You are a wicked beast who needs to be taken out and beat with a bat. So I understand that, but I want to encourage you that if you stay consistent, consistency always pays off. I've told you this and told you this and told you this, but I remember praying one day, going down the road, driving to Sabin, going to work. I was driving down the road just praying, oh, God, give me a word, give me a word. I got to hear from you. I got to hear from you. I need to hear from you. And all of a sudden, man, it was like the booming voice of God spoke to me in the truck, said, I was praying about, Lord, just, you know, show me my life. What am I going to do? What do I need to do? How do I keep going? You're going to send me out to this. And you're going to da, da, da. And the Lord just spoke to me. Be faithful, be consistent, don't quit. It was as if he said it out of the radio speaker. Be faithful, be consistent, don't quit. I'm like, well, Lord, I mean, that's not fancy words. That's not something I was waiting to see a burning bush or at least a, you know, pink elephant run across the road or something to confirm that you have spoken. Be faithful, consistent, don't quit. I mean, that ain't no fun. There's no frills in that, Lord. What am I going to tell everybody? Yeah, my word for life is be faithful, be consistent, and don't quit. But I want to tell you something. That's when the Lord started showing me about consistency. You get a habit. You get it going down. You do it every day, nonstop. Before long, it's part of your life. Never, you got it. We got it whipped. You got it beaten. You never hear that voice again. Okay, it's not that I'm Superman. It's just that I've just been faithful and consistent and don't quit. It's all I've ever done in life. Just show up. And that's pretty simple. Just show up. All right? So now, Romans 15:30. When Daniel prayed, instantly something happened. The Apostle Paul knew this. He prays in Romans 15:30, or he's writing here, he says, now I beg you. It's an interesting word, verb, is it? I beg you. He's writing to the Roman church. He said, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my services for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now may the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Paul asked the church for corporate prayer. He said, look, it's the same principle I'm trying to do with Facebook, is get it all out there, tell everybody on Facebook to look at iTunes, to go to the iTunes account so that then you can see it. Then all the people you see that sees your page goes and sees it. And it's the ripple effect. Paul's saying, man, I'm begging you, get everybody to pray for me that this, you know, that I'm going to be delivered from these people and whatever. Why would he be asking that if he didn't believe it worked? Why would he ask for corporate prayer if he didn't think it would happen? If he didn't say, it ain't no good asking them, they don't know nothing. Bunch of lunkheads, they don't know what they're doing in life. He said, no, I want them all to pray because every person that has this revelation and prays, God hears the prayer and things start to move in heaven. Your prayers move things in heaven. Wow. Wow. I said, man, you're moving things in heaven. You know, there was a time that there was a teaching going around talking about that you had to, you know, basically the simplistic view of it was you had to pray a certain way and then God would answer your prayers, or you had, you know, had to be said a certain way. And I was always never bore witness in my spirit because I'm like, man, if it's up to me to come up with the elegant words to then see something happen, well, Lord, you got the wrong person. I mean, you know. But when the centurion talked to Jesus and he said, look, you're a man under authority. I understand authority. Just speak the word and just tell it to be done and it'll be done because I know this authority and the way it works, and you just command it, it'll happen, and as I command my armies, it'll happen. Well, not everybody's going to command an army the same. Not everybody's going to issue words and commands and edicts the same. Not everybody's going to operate with people and treat people the same. All I'm saying to you is it doesn't make any difference how you pray. It's that you pray. Are y'all with me? It's not how you pray. It's that you pray. Is that you take the time to intercede for others. You take the time to pray for the things that are going on. You don't just say, God, I wish you'd do something about that. No, you pray about it. And what are you going to do? Well, the Bible says, speak to your mountains. Lord, I really need this hindrance to get out of the way. Lord, I really need this to happen. I'm interceding for so-and-so. Lord, I thank you that you, as I intercede for so-and-so, I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know why he's goofy. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening there. I don't know what's in the secrecy. I don't know what's going on. But Lord, you do, and I'm just praying for him. Lord, I just ask you, man, he's living a miserable life. Bless him. You tell me that doesn't work? Because I didn't ask the right way or say it the right way or whatever, and God looked down and said, man, Robert, if you could have said it better, or if you could have given me more specific directions. Well, I don't know what they need anyway. I'm telling you, I have prayed for people and prayed for people and prayed for people, praying about a situation. And I then later, years later, I find out that there was something all the way over here that I never even saw, never even knew, never even knew what was going on. While I was speaking about this happening, that was really the issue over here, but I didn't know it. So how am I going to know everything? How am I going to know what's going on? Are y'all with me? I'm just saying God does know what's going on. But he wants us, as the righteous servants of God on this earth, to pray for others. Not gossip about others, not judge others, but just pray for them. A lot of times somebody will send me a prayer request, and it'll, you know, my phone will beep, and I'll look at it and be driving down the road, and I say, man, the Lord so-and-so, he's going through it. I don't know what he needs, but I know you do, so I'm just interceding for him, Lord. I'm just standing in the gap for him. Can you help him? The Holy Ghost, can you send somebody there to do whatever? Because I don't know what's going on, but I'm just asking you, Lord, I just thank you for helping him. I know you're going to do something. You're going to move. Let him see it. Man, I feel like the job's done. I didn't need to pray in tongues over it for 2 hours and whatever. I just feel like it's done. Why? I never broke fellowship with God that morning when I started out praying. It's not like I had to, you know, sometimes when I'm in Guatemala and I call home, and if Laura answers the phone, we've learned this, is there's this delay. It's, hey, how are you doing? And then I'm expecting her to say right back, oh, everything's fine, but I didn't realize there was a delay. So then at first I would always say, how are you doing? Are you there? Can you hear me? Well, then she got, how are you doing? Are you there? Well, she spoke back and it doesn't jive. So now it's like you're talking with this long delay. How are you doing? Fine, how are you? Everything okay? Yeah, everything's okay. Am I right? This is how you have to have this conversation. But it's not like that with the Lord when you've already been fellowshipping in the morning. I don't have that delay. So Paul asked him, he said, I'm begging you, pray. I'm begging you, make intercession. Okay? So what I want to do right now, because I've got some other things in here, but I can't finish. What I want to do right now is I want to ask you just to break up in your groups, and rather than reading the Bible and going through something and trying to see what God's going to say to us, we're going to pray. Okay? It's part of fellowship. That's what I want you to do, because I don't want things to get out of hand. Okay, because we don't need a gossip session. We don't need to go on. If you have a person, you don't even necessarily have to speak to their name. You can just say, listen, we need to pray. I have a person, we need to pray about their marriage. All right? If you want to, if the person is somebody, you know, so-and-so just got diagnosed with, you know, something, then, you know, you can pray like that. That's okay. But what I'm saying is, let's don't turn it into a big time where we're all turning around and saying, oh, well, what's going on? I didn't know that was going on with them. I didn't know. When did that happen? Because then you're missing the point. We're praying and moving things, right? So, I don't care how you pray. All right, I was about to tell you how to pray, but I don't care how you pray. However God leads you, we're just going to pray. We're going to take this night. We're going to intercede for you. Now, if you're here tonight and you need prayer, well, then get prayed for while you're there in your group, okay? But however you want to do it, just don't write people's names down on a piece of paper, you know. Yeah, let's pray for all the sinners in town and write our names all down. Don't do that. That's not profitable. It's happened before. Not here.